Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being part of the program today. Do you have problems with not being able to keep your trees, your shrubs, your vegetables hydrated? Well, we have a solution for you. It's called Tree Diaper.
Yeah, before Tree Diaper, watering trees, shrubs, and bushes was not your favorite job on your property. But let's be honest, with Tree Diaper, it's not really a job. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases stored rainwater when plants need it. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from when you water or the rain, and it releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. Made in the USA, check out all the sizes they have available. That's treediaper.com, treediaper.com.
So when it comes to growing herbs, you're going to save a buku bunch of dollars. And whether you're just growing sage or basil or thyme or oregano or anything else, the expensive part of that is whenever you go buy the sprigs at the grocery store. But if we grow it ourselves, we can do we can get it fresh and have a lot of it and have to figure out what to do with it. So here's some things in which we need to know in order to successfully grow those herbs you use in the kitchen.
Yeah, so for one is that you can you want to make sure you have plenty of sunlight. So at least 6 to 8 hours of sunlight. It can be as direct as possible, but you definitely want it to be at least 6 to 8 hours of sunlight. So choose a spot in your garden or your kitchen or your patio, wherever that gets that sunlight.
So you can do that. You can also plant these outside. You don't have to go inside. You know, you said you know patio, your kitchen, but if you wanted to do this in full sun, it can be done in full sun.
Yeah, you just need at least. So maybe you're like thinking, I have this area for my tomatoes that gets the most sun. I have this other area that gets a little bit less sun. You can put your herbs there.
Right. And these herbs, if you're going to have anything in containers, herbs are the things to have in containers. They work great in containers. The thing is, you have to be able to make sure you water these because, like, okay, for example, rosemary. If in a controlled environment, they like to go through a very wet cycle and a very dry cycle. If they consistently stay moist, you can develop root rot on them. Other ones are less sensitive in that realm, but you can use the Tree Diaper and use that for your containers and keep them moist, the ones that need to. Lightly fertilize these plants. These plants are all in the realm of needing a lot of nitrogen because they're green.
Right. And another thing they're green, they need a lot of nitrogen. And then another thing is, if you have, like you had mentioned, the rosemary that likes the dry cycle and the wet cycle, if you have other herbs that want more of a consistent watering, you could put those together. So you remember, okay, I'm going to water these every 3 days or whatever. And then the rosemary and any other herbs that might, or plants that might like that dry to wet cycle, you can put those in a separate area or just kind of group them together. It's just better for your own knowledge. And another thing is to think about like cool weather versus warm weather. So like cilantro likes the cool weather.
Yeah, we don't even try growing cilantro outside. How we do grow cilantro successfully, and you can do this year-round in your south-facing window, even if you had more, you know, west or east-facing window, not so much north, you take a party cup and you just really smother it with seeds, and then you dust a little soil on it, and you do this every week, and you'll have a big party cup full of a bouquet of cilantro, and you can get about 2 cuttings off that cilantro before you have to dig it out or pull it out and start over. So it's a great way in order to save a lot of money and have consistently fresh indoor cilantro, not going to bolt.
Another herb that likes a little bit of cooler weather is parsley, and then also dill. Now, we've grown dill all summer long, but maybe if you live in a super hot area, it's not going to work out for you.
Dill can, in some places, is labeled as an invasive species.
Right. So that's another thing, is that you want to keep in mind, like mint, for example, will spread.
Never put that anything except for in a container.
Right. And even
elevate it above the ground container.
We put our dill in a container, and because of how it seeds so quickly, we still have dill. I mean, this was, what?
10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago? Yeah. So obviously, you know, you want to keep that in mind. If you grow dill, you might want to keep it further away from your vegetables or even other herbs because it will reseed quickly, or just be very vigilant about when you harvest it.
Let's talk about basil varieties, because there are so many different varieties. Many people are familiar with the Italian large leaf basil you use for very common usage of that.
Yeah, that's the Genovese sweet basil is the one known for, like, the pesto and all sorts of the Italian dishes. So that is the more well-known one. If you like a lot of Asian dishes, and the Thai basil mm-hmm. has that, it's just a little bit more, not spicy, but it's kind of peppery.
Yeah, peppery.
Yeah, kind of peppery. And then lemon or lime basil, they have their own distinct flavor. There's a new variety called boxwood basil, and it looks like a miniature boxwood. And it has a very strong basil-y scent to it. So I just want to keep that in mind.
Chocolate basil, licorice basil.
Yep, there's a lot of different basils. So if you're like, I want to grow, you know, enough to make my own pesto and have my Italian dishes, whatever, then you want to grow that Genovese sweet basil. Otherwise, you can experiment and see what you got.
And whenever it says lemon basil, lime basil, licorice basil, chocolate basil, it is exactly that taste. There is no, oh, we'll just call it this because, no, it is. It tastes just like you bought in a lemon, a lime, a chocolate, a licorice. Yeah.
The lemon basil tastes kind of like lemongrass, I guess I would say. It still has like a little bit of a green
taste.
It's
very identifiable.
Right, but you can taste the whatever it is. And it's important when you're growing any herbs, but definitely basil is to pinch it back. So it's going to get like these little shoots that almost look like flowers. And if you pinch it back, it's going to help its growth.
Right. You're going to keep it going. Also, a way to keep these things going is consistently harvest. And we've talked about this in the vegetable world, the tomatoes, the peppers, the eggplants that continue. Once the leaves get to a large size, go ahead and pick them off. Go ahead and repetitively, almost like you're harvesting tomatoes. Pull them off, either dry them or use them, however you're going to store these. And that's going to encourage and stimulate more leaf development on these plants. Hydration, proper fertilization, all of that will also encourage a healthy, productive plant. Whether you're doing sage, you're doing thyme, you're doing basil, whatever the case, that consistent, or rosemary, that consistent harvesting. Rosemary, you can cut some of the limbs off a little bit, and you can just pull the fronds off as well. To harvest these things. But if you just plant it and walk away and forget it and go, September, I'll harvest it, you're not going to have much basil.
Right. And that's one thing to keep in mind is the continual harvest. Now, if it's your first time growing different herbs, you might want to try a variety of herbs.
And we have a friend who is doing gardening for the first time, and she wanted to do she said, I'm kind of in the mindset, I'm just going to plant a whole bunch of things, figure out then what to do with them once it's time to harvest. But I want to have that option of going, I've got so much, what do I do with it? Rather than, I kind of wish I would have planted rosemary or basil or whatever. So she got a whole wad full of herbs from the garden center, which is nothing wrong with buying the plant starts. We've noticed that they are significantly more expensive this year, but that's just the way life is. You'll reap that reward back. You pay $5 for an herb, if you do this properly, you're going to reap $20 to $30 back in what you would have paid if you went to the grocery store.
If not more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's another thing. If you are allergic or something to an herb, obviously don't try to grow it. Or if you don't enjoy it, then don't use that space to grow it. But if you're like, hey, you know, I like all these herbs. I can dry them. I can do this with them. I can put them in oil and freeze them for soups and stews or whatever, then definitely by all means, you know, make yourself grow everything, thyme, marjoram, oregano, everything.
And you can also incorporate these in amongst your other vegetables. You can plant basil around your zucchini. It's called polyculture, growing two plants in the same area in order to benefit each other. The fragrance of the basil will confuse the squash bug, squash vine borer, and if it's the plant's large enough and surrounding and you got enough, it'll confuse it and it'll go elsewhere because it can't find that squash in order to bore into it to lay its larva. So it's a way of you can incorporating a certain level of intercropping, but more of a two plants working together for the benefit of both plants in the same area.
Right. So, yeah, you can definitely involve the herbs into your vegetable growing. And another good thing to use herbs for is maybe you don't grow a lot of vegetables, but you want to you want to grow herbs or you want to expand your edible growing knowledge, you can definitely use herbs in that way, because you can even just start them from seed, and that's a fairly cheap option to start them from seed and get that process down.
If you start herbs from seed and you don't have patience, don't start herbs from seed.
Yeah, a lot of them take like 14 to 30 days to germinate.
Oh, I didn't. It's not grow. Oh, it, you know, a month later, oh, it came up. That's normal for some of these.
Yeah.
And some of them need a lot of soil. Some of them don't need any soil at all because they need that light in order to do the germination process. So keep that in mind. At this point, early in the spring, it really is beneficial to just go ahead and invest in plant starts, because you're going to be far, far ahead of the game. Even if you are like, we're more okay, we know how to grow things,
right?
But we'll go ahead and grab a handful of plant starts of herbs just to get a jump start on it in our gardens too. Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. If you do,
try to do it at your local independent garden center. Support the little guys, because the big box stores, they're going to be fine no matter what you do or don't.
Because they're going to sell paint and lumber.
Yeah. Summer is near. It's starting to warm up. We're certainly in spring, Holly, and we have to worry about, well, not worry about, but we have to deal with those pesky beetles and grubs.
Yeah. So with spring just around the corner, it's time to think about that. So there's Japanese beetles, all sorts of things that could be showing up in your yard, or, you know, hopefully soon having a little barbecue outside, and they're going to show up too. So grub gone can be applied to the turf or garden around ornamentals to control grubs and lessen the impact that beetles have on your yard this summer. It's easy to apply with any commercial spreader and irrigate into the soil. Biologically, that specifically targets grub and beetle invaders without harming beneficials such as bees, ladybugs, or butterflies. And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com.
What's that?
That's P-H-Y-L-L-O-M, bioproducts.com, phylumbioproducts.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.